this week on Peace to Live By.
We shouldn't expect people who don't believe in Jesus Christ to act in the ways that God says are right. You can't expect unregenerate people to accept the same belief system as you, even though you are right in the way you think if you align your thoughts with God's Word.
Welcome to the program today. Peace to Live By is a radio ministry featuring Bible teacher Daniel Litton, found online at peacetoliveby.org. This program exists to build up Christians in becoming more like Jesus Christ and to give witness of the truth to those who do not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior yet. Daniel seeks to emphasize clarity and factual truth about the Bible in this weekly broadcast. Now, here's Daniel with today's message.
I trust everyone is doing well today. I want you to imagine today that we are at a theme park here in Ohio. If you've ever been to Cedar Point, you know that there are a variety of different kinds of rides you can take to your heart's content. Some are childish and some are more mild. There are the medium ones, the ones that are a little scary, but not really. Then there are the rides that are more scary. These are the ultimate ones. Cedar Point themselves calls these rides the aggressive thrill rides. Within these are the ultimate ones, like the Millennium Force, Top Thrill Dragster, and Wicked Twister, for example. Today, I am going to focus on a topic that is a bit of a big issue, an aggressive thrill, as Cedar Point likes to call it. So buckle in and let's get going. What I want to talk about today is a thought pattern, a belief system here in America that has run rampant over the last 15 years or so. This postmodern belief is that all people's beliefs are equally valid, that in fact what everyone believes for him or herself to be true is equally true across the board. Well, today, I want to confront this error head-on and explain that all beliefs are not equally valid or true. This discussion can be particularly hard for many, as this postmodern thought process has been so ingrained into the minds of individuals that they are sure that they are right. But with little analyzation, I think it will become clear quickly the error behind this type of thinking. Before we get started, though, I want us as Christians to consider what God says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 11 through 17. Turn with me there in your Bibles or tap in your Bible apps. The passage states, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Let us keep this passage in mind as we discuss the error of postmodern thinking today. First, let me note that as Christians, we shouldn't expect people who don't believe in Jesus Christ to act in the ways that God says are right. You can't expect unregenerate people to accept the same belief system as you, even though you are right in the way you think if you align your thoughts with God's Word. The people of the world can create whatever laws they wish. After all, it is their world. They can define marriage any way they want to, but that doesn't mean their definition is based on reality, based in truth. Our job as Christians is not to get unbelieving people to act like Christians. Our job is to tell the truth in hopes that the eyes of some will be opened so that they will accept the truth, accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Let us first identify what the actual problem is that I am talking about. Many people in the United States today, especially those of the millennial generation, have developed a thought process that equates all people's beliefs in their own minds as equally valid. That is, what I believe is good for me and what you believe is good for you. This is the thought process. The problem here is that this kind of thinking, that way of thinking, is not true a lot of times. There can only be one origin for the universe that is really true. There can only be one religion that is really true. Or you can count all religions as false, but multiple religions cannot be equally true. If one religion has a creation story, for instance, and so does another, they can't both be right. Now, they can both be wrong, but they can't both be right. And I believe this brings up another important point, and that is a lot of people believe that religion really is just a belief system to make people feel good, or for people to lean on. I think as time progresses, more and more people are adopting the idea that all religion is make-believe, that none of them really are true. These people typically adopt a naturalistic view of our world, a view that believes that everything just came about naturally. But a problem lies herein when one wants to look at the beginning of all things. That is, how did all these natural things begin? It is unscientific to believe that something came out of nothing, but that is what you have to believe under a naturalistic perspective. So these people, whether they know it or not, believe in the supernatural and the true essence of the word. They believe in miracles. Let's take a moment and think about naturalism. If a naturalistic perspective is correct, then why, person, do you care about other people? If everything is natural, then people have no inherent or indelible value. The strongest person should be the best, right? It's survival of the fittest. That means you shouldn't care about others. You shouldn't care about others' emotions, needs, etc. If it's survival of the fittest, then you need to gain more power so you can squash those around you and get what they have, obtain their things, their possessions, and power they might have. But such a notion is ridiculous. All views, in reality, are not equally valid or true, and are not equally important. Many people can't see this reality because they are so steeped inside their environment, their culture, their society, here in the United States. They're victims of their surroundings. They can't see the forest for the trees. They can't understand God's perspective, nor do they try to. All they see is the people and environment around them, but even these people are not true to themselves and what they believe. Why is their opinion more important than someone else's if there is no God? If all beliefs are equally important, then why do these people shun religious views? Why do they particularly shun Christians? Under a postmodernist mindset, Christians should get fair value for what they believe and fair treatment. But most often, they don't. Many want to look at places like Hollywood to understand how we are to live our lives as people. People go into a movie theater, sit there 2 hours, and be indoctrinated into what the culture believes is right. Not that going to movies is bad, just be careful what movie you are going to see. Many movies subtly promote doctrines that are destructive to people's lives. Watching people committing fornication or adultery on the screen is almost commonplace, and typically these characters face no consequences. But that's not reality. Bad choices do have negative consequences. These types of behaviors can and do damage people's lives. Committing adultery rivalry can ruin your marriage, and having sexual relations outside of marriage can give you permanent diseases and permanent emotional damage. But film depictions often leave these important facts out. The filmmakers aren't telling you the truth. There are some people who like to sit, as if it were, in neutrality to all beliefs. They want to consider all sides and do it in an unbiased way. But again, this is foolishness. It starts with the underlying assumption, again, that all people's perspectives are equally valid and important. But they're not. The only view that is really true is the one that keeps God in perspective. Any other view, absent of God, is not of God and therefore is not equally valid or important. Not to mention that it is impossible to be unbiased. Such a pursuit is true foolishness. To these people, I would say, the way you think has been molded, most often, by the society and culture around you. You may be able to become of a lesser bias than most, but you are still biased in some way. All people are biased. For instance, you may focus on the affairs of humans and think about these things, but why? Who said that the affairs you're focusing on are important? Well, the environment you are in has made you believe that these things are important. See the foolishness? Now, some people may want to say that the things that are important are the things that the majority of people say are important. They want to base their beliefs on what the majority thinks. For one, that's good news if you believe this, because then you certainly believe that Christianity is the correct way, then. After all, Christianity is the most dominant world religion, and therefore must be correct under this type of thinking. But anyway, setting that aside, true beliefs shouldn't be developed based on what the majority thinks. Number one, the majority can be wrong. And number two, here again we are using human opinions to derive truth. To say that the majority is right undercuts the minority. But both may be wrong, only whoever agrees with God is right. Let's look at what God says about himself. Isaiah chapter 45 and verses 5 and 6 state, this is the Lord God speaking, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. So the God of Judaism and Christianity says there is no other God besides him. Now, that's a problem if a person wants to believe that all religions in the world are equally true or valid. The God of the Christian Bible says he's the only true God. So either he's a liar or he's right. You see, all religions of the world cannot be equally true. Either one is true and the rest false, or all are false and none of them are correct. If Jesus Christ says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Then either he is correct in what he is saying, or indeed he is a liar. So how can Islam be right and Christianity be right? The reality is, they can't both be right. There is no possible peace between them. They stand in contradiction to each other. Philosophically speaking, they can both be wrong, but they can't both be right. I want people to understand today that if they want to be true with themselves, they have to consider these things that I am talking about. Trying to be unbiased, trying to believe that everyone is okay in what he or she thinks, trying to be neutral, isn't living in reality. People can try to believe both sides have equally valid points, but they don't. In a lot of the world's arguments today, oftentimes they think both sides don't have any valid points. But God, Jesus Christ, is the one who is always right. The New Testament notes, There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's Acts chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12. And again, of God, it is also noted that in past generations he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Acts chapter 14 and verses 16 and 17. So God, in the past, let people create their own religions and follow them. He let the ancient Chinese follow their own religion. He let Native Americans create their own religious systems. He let people go their own ways, yet God did not leave himself without testimony. What about tolerance? Many again cling to the notion that everyone has rights, and what they believe is equally important, but not all rights are really rights. The only rights that really exist and are permissible are those outlined by God in the Bible. Consider what God says to Christians in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 5 through 10. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. You see, it doesn't matter what rights people may think that they have in American society, because if they don't line up with God's word, they really, in reality, don't have the right. There are no gay rights, for instance. People can practice homosexuality, but they are just committing acts that are contrary to God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, among other passages, clearly states that God does not approve of homosexual acts. No one is born gay. God doesn't create humans with the inability to not sin against him. Just as no one is born adulterous, no one is born gay. You don't hear anyone going around committing adultery and saying that, I was just born this way, I can't help it, I have the right to be adulterous. Just because American society may make people think they have these rights under its system of laws, they really don't have the rights in reality. It doesn't matter what some judge may decide. If it's against God, people really don't have the rights. You can try to call it by a different name, but sin against God is sin. So, what are Christians to do as they find themselves in this type of world? Are we to go out into the country far away and find a piece of land, buy it, and build a village so that we can live out our lives believing in reality? Some people, unfortunately, are hoping that we do this. Consider what the Apostle Paul states in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn there in your Bibles or navigate there in your Bible apps on your digital device. We'll start at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 9, states, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy and swindlers, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. So, as Christians, we are supposed to live among those in the world who do not believe. If we didn't, how else would people hear the message of the gospel, for instance? How would more people be saved? But the passage I just read brings up an important point, and this point is that there are many in the Christian church today, or who think they are part of the Christian church, who have forsaken a correct way of thinking according to the Bible, a correct way of living. And these are the people, and the churches as a whole, who ascribe to the notion of things like gay is okay inside the church. Or these are the people inside the church who don't practice the church discipline necessary in order to purge the evil person from among themselves. These are the false brothers and sisters, those who call themselves Christians, who use the Christian name, but who really aren't Christians. They are the ones who say they are Christian, but who contradict the very pages of Scripture they claim to ascribe to. And the leaders of the churches who do this are called false teachers. They are the ones who lead the sheep astray within the church. They are the wolves among the sheep. There is no room in the real church for those who want to follow sin inside the church. God says that we as Christians are supposed to identify these individuals within our group and then subsequently purge them from our midst. And this is where the downfall of a church begins, really. These people move up the ladder of a church, they get in on the inside, into the inner workings of the church, and then they start to promote their own doctrine, their own beliefs. The high-ups around them won't do anything about it because they are worried about their own jobs. They don't want to lose their own careers. They are in a comfort zone. They care more about their own comfort and well-being than standing for the Word of God. They don't want to put themselves on the line, and they don't want to put their wives and children on the line. So these false brothers end up staying where they are in the high-ups, and then they recruit others to join them. They get their friends' jobs and move other like-minded individuals into important positions. Before you know it, you have a church that is headed toward apostasy, and the church starts forsaking some of its foundational truths. More and more false brothers come in until there is more of them than there are left the good people. The good brothers and sisters become a minority, and then all goes to hell in a handbasket. The church is lost, it becomes totally false. Satan has won this battle. But this kind of downfall can be prevented. It is when sound-minded individuals, those who are willing to stand for the truth, actually do stand for it and stand firm in the truth. These are the people who are not willing to compromise based on the latest fad, the latest cool trend that is hitting the culture. These are the pastors who take a stand for what is right and stand firm. These are the churches that God will bless. Sure, there will be some persecution, but God is with them, so it's okay. Jesus noted in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." That was Matthew chapter 5 and verses 10 through 12. People who stand for the truth will face persecution in some way, shape, or form. Unbelievers will speak out against them. But true churches, true leaders, true teachers are not left alone, not left to fare for themselves. You see, false teachers, the Bible doesn't change with the times. The Bible is not subject to change. Many want to change God's word to match the culture of their time, and they do this through reinterpretation. But if you are going to do that, if you are going to reinterpret the Bible to suit your fancy, why not just rewrite it? Why not just change what it says? But you would never do that. That's too bold and hard. You just reinterpret it. Or you ignore passages of Scripture that you don't like, the ones you don't agree with. Instead of taking a highlighter to important passages, you take a Sharpie. You black out the passages you don't like, the ones you don't want to talk about. You end up with a different gospel altogether, which is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul has some harsh words for you. Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 9, states, "As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a different gospel, contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." So are the true teachers of the word trying to please themselves, or do they do it for some personal gain or merit? Come on, that doesn't make any sense in American society. If you wanted to earn the world's favor, why would you preach Christ crucified? That's foolishness to the world. Why not talk about other things, other topics that are appealing to the world's wisdom? No, indeed, true preachers of the word do not do it for their personal gain, but because they care about the people of the world just as God does. They care about the people and want them to be saved from God's wrath to come in the future. In finishing today, perhaps, friend, you have been listening to this discussion, and perhaps you believe that these things are true. Maybe you have believed that Jesus must really be God, and that his way is the right way, the real way, the only way. If that's you today, then I'm here to tell you that there is good news for you. You can come to know Jesus, and you can be made right with God. You can have no fear of your eternal future after you die. Since everyone will die at one point or another, unless you are raptured, then it is important to know where you are going. It is important to know you are right with God. If you will accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can be made right with God today. You see, Jesus came to the earth some 2,000 years ago, died on a cross, and rose from the dead. He died on the cross because he was taking your place. God's righteousness requires a perfect sacrifice for sins. In the Old Testament, the Jewish people would sacrifice animals, but they weren't able to take away the people's sins. They only covered them. Jesus' righteousness can be imputed to you. You can take his righteousness upon yourself and therefore not be guilty of any of your sins in this life. That's why he came the first time to the earth, and that's why he died. And he rose from the dead, triumphing over Satan and sin altogether. If you would like to accept Jesus today as your personal Lord and Savior, then follow my lead in this prayer. God, I have sinned my whole life. I am guilty of not following your will, but of doing the things I have wanted to do. I accept Jesus' death on the cross as payment for my sins, and I believe that he rose from the dead triumphant. I surrender myself over to you. Please, Father, change my life and make me like Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. You've been listening to Peace to Live By with Bible teacher Daniel Litton. To download and listen to complete messages by Daniel, visit peacetoliveby.org. There on the website, you'll also find a link to contact the ministry. We love to hear from our listeners. Feel free to reach out and send us your comments. Your messages are encouraging and inspiring for us. For Daniel Litton, I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll be back next week for another episode of Peace to Live By. This program is produced and sponsored by Peace to Live By Ministry. in Powell, Ohio.